You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Moretz. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's a Friday, which means we've got a ton of stuff to break down on the program. Steve Merrill's going to jump up and in. We're going to hit the track, talk some NASCAR. Oh, we'll hit the hardwood. We'll talk some NBA basketball as the playoff picture is a muddled one heading into the final weekend of regular season play. We'll hit the diamond. We'll talk some baseball with Steve Merrill. We're going to hit the octagon as Michelle Serpico is going to step up and join us. Cage Fury fighting cage side reporter. We're going to break down UFC 210, UFC Buffalo. And as a Buffalo Bill fan, it was nice to see Tyrod Taylor hanging out with the UFC earlier this morning. So we'll talk some about UFC. Interesting development, actually, but there always is whenever the UFC goes to the state of New York, in which one of the fights has been scratched. But from what I understand right now, it's a fluid situation, and Calvillo versus Pearl Gonzalez could be back on the card. It was taken off the card. It was put back on the card. And no, weight cut, no. Performance enhancer, no. Breast implant. Evidently, you can't have breast implants and fight in the state of New York yet. I've never touched them, but I'm willing to guess that Misha Tate's breasts are not real. I'm just saying, right? But nevertheless, we'll get to that a little bit later on. And you guys got time for this. Let's get some pictures of some breasts up if we can, please. It's not sleazy. We're breaking it out from a sporting standpoint. We'll get a shot of Misha Tate, and we'll dissect whether you think they're real or not. They're real and they're spectacular. I'll tell you what, they're not real, they're not spectacular, but they're pretty good. So nevertheless, Steve Merrill joins us, Michelle Serpico joins us, and Lenny Dykstra joins us as well. I don't know. I guess Lenny Dykstra is becoming a regular here on Game Time Decisions. Ton of stuff to get to with Lenny Dykstra as well. So we got a pretty kick-ass show lined up for you. So let's jump right in so we can get to as many topics as possible. Now, listen, we all know that basically 2016 and now into 2017, there's been a big aura of negativity around the world. And in fact, we might be on the brink of World War III right now, but that's another story. The negativity has trickled into the sports world as well. NHL players, they're upset that they're not going to the Olympics. Jordan Spieth bettors are upset that the dude somehow quadruple bogeyed. Quadruple freaking bogeyed. Are you kidding me? Last year it was the 12, this year it's the 15. And LeVar Ball, LeVar Ball is always upset, isn't he? Like, seriously, LeVar Ball is now blaming the white guys on the UCLA Bruins. Now, I was expecting him to rip Alford right after the game, to be honest with you. Remember when the younger Ball brother lost the high school championship game? Coach's fault. It's always somebody else's fault, right? So LeVar Ball, it can't be Lonzo Ball's fault. That's the thing. Lonzo's a good kid, but your father's a jackass, so eventually we're going to turn the tables on you, Zoe. So you better tell your old man to shut the hell up. But LeVar Ball comes out and says the reason that UCLA lost to Kentucky is because they have too many white guys on the floor, and you can't win with so many white guys. And, okay. All right, I'm just thinking to myself, well, what happened in that basketball game? Let's see. I don't know. De'Aaron Fox lit up your kid like Snoop Dogg lighting a blunt on the back of a tour bus. He got torched. He got smoked. De'Aaron Fox put up 39 points on your boy. He put up 39 points. How'd the white guys do? Let's see how'd the white guys do in this game. Here's TJ Leaf, who just declared for the NBA draft. I don't know, the white guy, TJ Leaf, he had 17 points. Alonzo had 10 points. He had 10 points. All right, so Leaf had 17 points. Thomas Welsh, he had 9 points. He also had 7 points. He didn't have the best game. But I guarantee you, my money, you want to play a game of horse? Alonzo Ball, LeVar Ball versus Thomas Welsh? I'll bet you everything that I have, which is not a lot, on Thomas Welsh, all right? Thomas Welsh's fault. Hell, even Alford. Even Alford scored more. it's actually comical. Alford struggled. He still had 13 points. The white guys, the ironic part is, it's actually your son. That's why they lost. Your son was throwing like Magic Johnson behind the back passes, no look passes, turning the ball over, didn't play defense. You know what? He might be the next Steve Nash after all. So it's actually pretty freaking comical. I think it's time we stop giving this dude a mic. He's obviously the biggest troll in America right now. But truth be told, we all know that LeVar Ball would just absolutely smoke Larry Bird in a game of one-on-one, right? He'd kill him. He'd kill him. He'd kill Porzingis. He'd kill Nurkic. He'd beat J.J. Redick. Let's go down the list. You know what? You know, I'm a white guy, and I think I'm better than you, LeVar Ball. And I can't jump like other white guys. So, you know, LeVar Ball, you know, you really are like the biggest dickwad in America. There's like no other way of putting this right now. If there wasn't so many crazy things going on in the world, you know, your stupidity would actually be highlighted even more. But you're going to be a big-ass distraction once you get to the NBA. And it's a big problem right now. And, you know, I said this before, man, but it's time for the kid to man up and tell the old man to shut the hell up. So I want to wrap up this week and wrap up the final monologue of the week like they do like on the news. You know what I mean? You know, they usually show you like a fluff piece, nice story about like a puppy that got lost and was reunited. Maybe, you know, like a troop returning home and surprises the daughter in the elementary gym. You know, we want to pull at the heartstrings a little bit here. And who better to do it than Tim freaking Tebow? All right. I got to admit, man, I'll admit when I'm wrong. And I'm often wrong, but I'm more often right. OK, but anyways, I'll admit when I was wrong. I stood in this very spot like the Grinch, like the jackass Scrooge that I am. Tim Tebow playing baseball. What the hell are you doing? You're wasting everybody's time. And there I was last night going, dear God, this guy really does walk on water. Tim Tebow's first at bat last night. Dude goes deep. A two-run shot. Guy hits a two-run home run in his first freaking at bat of the season. And look at the place. They're going crazy. And look at this. That's what life is about. That's what sports is about. Look, he thinks it's a ground rule double. He doesn't even know. They're like, dude, you just hit a home run. You hit a home run. And it's Tebow. And I love this. Look at how many rounds of play here. Check out the dude in the Tebow Bronco jersey. Yeah! Yeah! You know what? How the hell can you hate this? Saddam Hussein would approve of this. How can you hate Tim Tebow? The only person that hates Tim Tebow, of course, is LeVar Ball, because, of course, LeVar Ball would strike his white ass out. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We are live. We've got a stacked show. Steve Merrill. We've got Merrill, Serpico, and Dykstra. Lenny Dykstra returns to the program. And we've got a ton of stuff to throw at Lenny on the show today. Question I'm looking forward to asking Lenny Dykstra on the program today is, you know, we all know the story about how he hired private investigators to dig up dirt on various umpires across the National League. And, you know, some people discount it. Oh, it's not true. He's making it up. There's no way he actually did this. But if you look at his walk ratio, it went up from like 42 a year to like 76 and 80 walks a year. So there's definitely something to it. And, of course, last week he goes, of course it's true. Why would I make that up? But I want to actually ask him today, what's the worst thing that he knows about an umpire? Like, has an umpire killed somebody? Is an umpire like a secret traitor, secretly a Russian spy? Because I'm assuming they're like drug driving adulterers, but I want to find out. I'm not going to ask him to name names, but I just want to know, like, has an umpire killed anybody? So I look forward to that type of questioning with Lenny Dykstra today. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. I don't know, if Steve killed somebody, he's not going to tell us anyways. And Steve looks like such a nice guy, but for all we know, man, Steve's walking the streets of Virginia like a madman.
It depends on the results from the previous night.
Exactly. Mood swings. Mood swings of a professional sports gambler.
Based on three hour time windows.
You know, it's funny because we were talking earlier in the week about favorite athletes online. ESPN did a favorite athlete at... People are asking me, so who's your favorite athlete, Morenci? And I'm like, I don't know. I sort of have a love-hate relationship with every athlete. You know, I think, I'm like, I like Michael Jordan, but There were a lot of, you know, there were a lot of times I didn't like Michael Jordan. It's, you know, when you do what we do, you take the fandom out of it. You know, sometimes you like a guy, sometimes you don't like a guy.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, athlete-wise, it's not as big of a deal for me, but for as far as favorite teams, I mean, we talked about this on the show last week. You know, we were joking about the Capitals last Friday and the Redskins. I'm neutral. You know, I'm indifferent to all of this now, and I think part of it's due to the you know, futility of the franchises over the last couple of decades in my local area, but more so it's what we do for a living. You know, people ask me who my favorite team is. I said it varies day to day. It changes on a daily basis.
That's the thing. And people don't realize that from the intensity of an NBA playoff series, let's say, Steve, in which you're all in one night. You're the biggest Toronto Raptor fan ever one night.
Yeah.
And then, boom, two nights later, the game's in Miami, and you hate the Raptors. You're like, yeah, man, you know, let's go Heat. You know, it's amazing how you can jump ship. Or even jump ship in-game with in-game point spreads. I've sat with people and I've really confused them. I thought you were cheering for this team. Yeah, I was 10 minutes ago. But now I need them to score because I got more money on the over. And it just goes it goes over their head. But nevertheless, NBA regular season coming into an end here. Final weekend of play. Bulls and Pacers are now in. The Heat are a half game back with a game in hand. Playing tonight. And I tell you what, the Heat are in a lot of trouble here because they're in Toronto tonight. They're in Washington tomorrow. And then they wrap up at home with the Wizards and Cavaliers. They're not getting a free pass through the final couple of games here. This is an absolutely positively must-win game for the Miami Heat tonight. It was 6 earlier in the morning. I'm seeing 4.5 right now, Steve.
Yeah, I think Miami's in big trouble. They'll continue to play hard, but the problem is the teams they're playing all have to play hard as well. You know, Cleveland's in a dogfight this year as opposed to previous years where they would sit guys in the final week. I think teams like the Wizards also are going to be playing hard down the stretch. Toronto will continue to play hard as well. Miami's just 38-40, you know, so it's not like they deserve to be in the playoffs. That's the thing about the NBA. These Eastern Conference teams especially sneak in with barely 500 records, and you feel like they're good teams, but they're not. And I think it's hard to trust the Heat here. The Raptors obviously play it hard, so they're a much more capable squad.
And one thing with the Raptors, they got Kyle Lowry back the other night. No ring rust for Kyle. He dropped 27 on the Pistons, 27-10 a night for the All-Star. And thing about the Raptors as well, they're only a half game up on the Washington Wizards for the 3 seed, Steve. And, you know, I know that NBA professional teams, they generally don't lose sleep at night, depending on their seeds. But this is pretty critical because if you're the 4 seed, you could end up playing the Cleveland Cavaliers in the second round. So both the Wizards and the Raptors would like to avoid that.
Yeah, no question about it. And Cleveland beating Boston on the road as an underdog the other night obviously helps the Cavaliers get closer to a 1 seed. Boston's been fighting them for it recently. I think we all feel like Cleveland will get it done, though. And there's no question. You know, we see this in the NCAA tournament. You look at Gonzaga making their run. It's not who you necessarily have to beat. It's who other teams can beat along the way. And, you know, you look at Gonzaga, they were fortunate to play, you know, Xavier instead of Arizona. They played South Carolina instead of Duke or Villanova. You know, Gonzaga might have still gotten there, but they obviously had a much easier road because of that.
The Nuggets are in a similar situation. The Nuggets are screwed. The Nuggets are screwed. They need to win both games, and they need the Blazers to lose both games. The Blazers are playing Utah and San Antonio, so who knows about the lineup situations there. The Nuggets are laying 7. This one's coming down right now. The Nuggets eliminated the Pelicans from playoff contention. Now, the Pelicans were always sort of on the outside looking in, but they got eliminated last week, and the Pelicans were talking about returning the favor tonight. And one thing about the Pelicans, Steve, they're the one team. They haven't quit down the stretch. DeMarcus Cousins isn't in a bad mood. You know, they went on a 7-3 run. They're covering point spreads. They're winning basketball games. And they all said, hey, we're building for next year here. We knew this wasn't a this year type of thing. And, you know, they got Davis, they got Cousins. They're a tough team. They haven't quit. I like the underdog tonight.
Yeah, and I like the fact they have 2 days of rest here. You know, one of the reasons the Nuggets play so well at home is because they catch teams in a no-rest or a 3-4-night situation. Same thing the Utah Jazz do, and you get that altitude and thin air advantage. New Orleans hasn't played since Tuesday, so they've been off for 2 full days. I think the home court edge will be less tonight for the Nuggets for that reason. And they're a very dangerous team offensively now with Cousins and Davis both healthy and down low. They've put up over 100 points or more in 5 straight games. They've gone 2-2 in their last 4, even though they've lost back-to-back. Pelicans definitely have not tossed the towel. And the over is probably worth a look in some of their games as well right now. They've gone over four of those last five.
Yeah, it's come down, too. It was really high. It was 230, 230 and a half, 229 and a half right now. And considering, Steve, they put up a combined 265 points last time they played last week.
Yeah, and I like the quick revenge angle, too, in the NBA. This is something that works well. It was a home game in New Orleans on Tuesday. Now it's a home game for Denver. But the fact that New Orleans has the rest and they lost straight up and against the spread as a three-point favorite, I think that gives us some good value here tonight.
All right, let's jump onto the diamond here. San Francisco Giants stumble out of the gate, Steven. Interesting, you look at the Giants' schedule, and it's very, very division-heavy early. They could find themselves behind an early eight ball here if they keep on losing these division games. They get an opportunity to take on San Diego. San Diego projected to be the worst team in baseball. They got outscored by the Dodgers 27-10 in that four-game set. But, you know, they did win once 4-0. They did only lose once 3-1. So the 27-10 is kind of an anomaly. They gave up 14 and 10 runs in two separate games. It is their home opener here. But I'm just a sucker here, and I'm seeing that the game's basically a pick'em, and the Padres are terrible. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, I mean, first week of the baseball season, obviously, you know, it's kind of like week one in the NFL.
Yeah.
You might get some weird results. You don't know which teams are a little bit rusty still. And the Dodgers did lose that second game of that four-game series 4-0. They actually got shut out by San Diego. But like you said, the Dodgers routed them in the other three games. San Diego is definitely the worst team, or at least should be the worst team in baseball this year. They had the lowest win total, and on paper, they're extremely weak. So it's really hard to back them right now. You know, maybe this time of year, you'll get a little bit of value because some of their opponents are rusty, but it's really just flipping a coin here and hoping that San Diego shows up because they don't have much talent.
Well, that's the thing, Steve. You're right. Early in the season, especially, you know, you look at the National Football League, similar situation, as you mentioned, and in baseball, bad team's problem is depth, right? So after 2 weeks, after 3 weeks, after 4 weeks, it starts to wear on them. But a home opener, it's an equalizer. The stadium sold out. Everybody is, everybody's energized. They're not beaten down on the year yet. Everyone's fired up. So you're right. Depth is the problem for bad teams. The Indians, though, Steven, every year there's a team, there's usually one team that wins their first 12 games, or hey, they're 11-0 or whatever. Maybe it's Cleveland Indians that this year. They haven't lost yet. They're going in Arizona right now. This is an interesting series here. A 3-0 team and a 3-1 team.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing you could say here is that Cleveland's not used to playing games in Arizona. This is kind of a strange interleague matchup here. For that reason, maybe it catches them off guard. Arizona usually a very strong home field because it's a very hitter-friendly ballpark. So you can make a case for the over here. The Cleveland pitchers might be a little bit unfamiliar with their surroundings. But Cleveland is the better team here, and that's definitely why they're the road favorite. But Arizona off to a 3-1 start. Wouldn't be surprised to see the Diamondbacks maybe as a live home dog. I'd like Arizona better in this spot than San Diego. You know, and the other one, San Francisco, is a slight favorite with Kane, and off the 1-3 start, I would think the Giants come focused. And by the way, one thing about that game is San Francisco's offense has been very good. Their pitching's been awful.
Yeah.
I like to see offensive momentum, as you know, because that usually carries over from game to game. Pitching is really dependent on your starters and maybe the one or two bullpen guys. So I think the Giants are better than that 1-3 record. I think both Arizona and Cleveland have looked good so far, and the home field advantage might help Arizona tonight.
Brandon Crawford's looked real good. All right, Steve, how much time do we have left here? Okay, we've got a couple of minutes, so let's hit NASCAR, Texas Motor Speedway. I've never been to a race there, Steve, but I've been outside the track there. Man, the place is massive, absolutely massive. What a spectacle seeing it in person. So it's the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500, and I couldn't resist a cheap joke at Bill O'Reilly's plug-in. Are the sponsors boycotting this like they're boycotting the O'Reilly factor right now? But the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500. Kevin Harvick's the favorite, but reminds me of the old Wendy's commercial. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Ton of top 10s and top 6 finishes here, but where are the wins? I'm not playing them at plus 600.
Yeah, we've talked about Harvick a lot. You know, they switched over to Ford this year, and so far they have not been as strong. You know, Fords in general have been very good. Logano and Keselowski have looked fantastic, but they're used to running Fords. Harvick, Kurt Busch, you know, Stuart Haas has switched over this year. Another thing you got to point out about this week is that they repaved the surface at Texas.
Ooh.
Not a huge deal about the repave, but they actually changed the banking, I believe, in some of the turns. So this is a completely different racetrack than last year and the years before. So be very careful with past results. Some of the early reports are that it runs a lot like Kentucky and Darlington. So keep an eye on those tracks. Regardless, it's still a cookie cutter. It's a mile and a half. Like you said, it's a huge speedway, just like Kentucky, just like Darlington. Usual suspects will do well here, the same cookie cutter guys. Logano and Keselowski should be strong again. Jimmy Johnson's not been great this year either. Him and Harvick got off to fantastic starts last year. They've been a little mediocre this year. So I kind of need to see something from them before I'm going to back them. They have to have really good practice times for me to get interested.
Kyle Busch has been a Texas kingpin. Incredible numbers here. Five straight top five finishes, two-time winner. Won here last April, also won in 2013. Over the last 10 races here, Steve, his average finish is five. That's hard to overlook.
Yeah, and keep in mind, even though the track might be a little different, he's been very good at Kentucky over the years. So if it is like Kentucky, you know, I like Kyle Busch either way still.
All right, you know that Kyle Larson's been my guy this year. He's plus 700. He's been on a roll, but doesn't have a great track record here. You've been waiting on Chase Elliott. This might be the week, actually. Elliott, top five in both trips here. He's got a couple of top fives already this year. Finished top five twice last year. He's knocking on the door as well, Steve. I don't know if he wins, but it might be time that we start betting on him on a weekly basis because he's close.
Yeah, we said last week at Martinsville, be careful with the younger guys because it's a different type of track. Keep in mind that the Nationwide Series does not run at Martinsville. The Truck Series does, and Elliott actually won the truck race. Kyle Larson's run truck, so they looked okay. But a guy like Eric Jones, who's been really strong so far this year, was terrible. And, you know, Suarez, those guys didn't run there. Kentucky used to be a Nationwide track only. So if Texas runs like Kentucky and all the other drivers are all on the same page this week with the new paving and new banking, the young guys actually might have more of an edge than normal. Guys like Chase Elliott and obviously Kyle Larson. But also look at Eric Jones and number 19, Suarez, who's in the Carl Edwards car now. He could run well here and maybe be a bit of a sleeper.
As always, we're on the same page. Steve, I was going to catch you off guard. My fantasy sleeper of the week, or if your book has a top 10 prop, Eric Jones, 33-1 to win a race. He's been 15th or better in five straight races, finished 8th at the Camping World, finished 12th here last year. I think he's a great fantasy pick. We got to get out of here, Steve.
Yeah, never ran a Martinsville and finished 8th. He's a good driver.
All right. Thanks, Gabe. All right, Steve, always a pleasure, my man.
Thanks, man.
Steve Merrill with us, man. We hit a lot of stuff there. Lenny Dykstra joins us next. All right, let's do this thing. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We're going to talk some UFC Buffalo in a couple of moments. But let's talk some baseball right now with a man that they call Nails. He joined us last week. We're stoked to have him as a regular. And there's a ton of baseball stuff to hit with the one and only Lenny Dykstra. Lenny, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm okay. Never hit three times in a game before, but okay, you know?
Yeah, you know, any day above ground's a good day. I know you live by that. My grandfather used to tell me that, too.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, look, when you've been around, you know, seeing what I've seen and know what I know, especially true. So, yeah, seriously. So, yeah, no, it's good to be here. Good talking. What's up?
All right. So, listen, let's start off here. I don't know if you saw this. Earlier in the week, a dude, Stephen Piscotty, he's a guy in the St. Louis Cardinals. He was at bat. He got hit, like, right on the elbow, man. Point-blank elbow. Kid's in pain, goes to first base, steals first base, gets hit on the other elbow, sliding into second base, comes home later in the inning, gets freaking drilled in the head, safe at home plate, gets, like, lying. He's, like, knocked out. And I tell you what, man, I tweeted out after, Lenny, we are all Stephen Piscotty. When life hits you in the head with a baseball, you keep grinding, right?
That's so funny. I love the way he said he'll be diagnosed in the morning, you know? I mean, again, every day is like you learn something new, but this is the first one. I mean, but I love the fact he said, though, you know, he'll be diagnosed. You guys making $33 million, so he's solid, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, speaking of solid, and I got to be honest with you, Lenny, I did a diatribe, a monologue last month Tim Tebow's wasting everyone's time at the Mets camp. It's a joke. They're selling Tebow t-shirts and jerseys outside. They're not even selling Syndergaard jerseys. He's taking up space. And now here I am, man, with goosebumps watching this son of a bitch go deep.
Oh, the guy, well, I mean, it's almost like, I mean, again, you know, God knows if I don't know how that works, but like, you know, if you believe in God, it's almost like the guy got sent down here by God to, like show people how to live right. I mean, because from what I read, he's a virgin, and which I'm not. Just want to make clear, I'm not. but no. So I mean, will he be a big league player? No, but he's a very intriguing person, you know.
Yeah, it seems like he knows he's not going to be a big league player, but he wants to make it to the big leagues. What was your take on Jordan at the time? And do you believe that Jordan was playing baseball only because there was a gambling scandal in the NBA?
No, I don't think it was a gambling thing. I mean, I think he, you know, he pretty much accomplished everything that he wants to accomplish in basketball, and it's just hard though. And baseball is. I mean, look, there's 30 jobs available in the world, meaning there's 30 teams. So if you're a center fielder, that means there's only 30 spots. So to get to the major leagues, it's not only hard, it's you almost have a better chance of being hit by lightning because you're not dealing with people from, like, Canada or from the United States. No, you got China, Japan, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. The world, basically. So, it's.
That's a good point. If you're a football player, whatever, man. You got to, you know, it's you're from Alabama. You're good. You're right. You're not competing with some badass from Finland.
Yeah. Well, who? By the way, remember too. Like these are guys like in Dominican Republic and who have lived up with nothing. So, baseball is their only way out. So, you know, they work harder than the American players and. You know, that's the one thing that I have a little problem with is, you know, the players don't put the time and work in that they should. Because you have to give your best effort to the fans who pay a lot of money to watch you play, you know?
Lenny, you know what really used to piss me off, man? And I did the Expos postgame show. I loved it. I used to go down and watch batting practice every day and hang around the cage, etc. And I used to see pitchers all the time, and they were betting during batting practice, trying to hit home runs, having a great time. And then they get in the game, and they can't lay down a freaking bunt.
Well, I mean, look, here's a deal with pitchers. I mean, like all you parents out there listening that want your kids to be like a Major League Baseball star, have them be a pitcher. Because, like, if you can do it, like, the best pitcher starts, he'll get 35 starts in a season. That's if he's healthy. He doesn't have to hit, which is the hardest part. Meaning, I mean, internationally, if you hit, they don't take it serious. And he doesn't have to finish the game. I mean, if you go 7 walks, I mean, unless 3 runs or 4 runs come in, he's going to make $20 million. So,
yeah.
But you know what? It's a free world, though, and if spring training's in Holden, Arizona every year. Go try out.
I want to ask you, ESPN had a poll earlier in the week. 6,000 sports fans were asked, 12 years old and up. So from 12 years old up to seniors, whatever, they can name any athlete. Who's their favorite athlete? Michael Jordan was number one. But, Lenny, not one current player in Major League Baseball was in the top 50. Derek Jeter was ranked number 13. The only other two baseball players in the top 50 were Babe Ruth and Pete Rose.
Yeah, well, you know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Baseball is really falling short on marketing their players, and now that is being exposed. And you know, I read an article by Jason Stark, who's a great writer. He used to be the beat writer in Philadelphia when I played. And so he wrote a big article about that, too. Who is the face of Major League Baseball? They really don't have, it's just that, I don't know, since the new rules about, I mean, sliding and all this other stuff, it's like, you know, the managers, if you notice now, they're all kind of push button. There's no, like, controversial managers. And it's become kind of boring. And so they have to do something about that.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, it's funny. You're right. As far as baseball is concerned, what's the most exciting thing that happened in baseball last night? Tim Tebow. And he's not even in Major League Baseball. Like, that's what everyone's talking about, you know?
Yeah. I mean, God, I wonder who the first chick is going to be, cat check guy, huh?
Yeah, so speaking of chicks, yeah, Derek Jeter, highest on the list. You know, this guy's nailed, he's hit a lot of grand slams on and off the field. You ever cross paths with Derek Jeter before? Because this guy's
never,
in, like, supermodel mode, hey? Like, big time.
Dude, this guy, everything he touches turns to gold. I mean, and he's also managed somehow to stay out of trouble. You know, like, I mean, you would think, like, one of them would have, like, tried to make up some or get some money from him, but I guess it only happens to me, you know?
Yeah, I know they don't. You're right. If you're doing a line in a bathroom stall at the Roxy, it's on Twitter in 10 seconds. If it happens to Jeter, it's not getting online. You know what I mean?
Like, No. The guy is amazing. I give the guy credit. I mean, he's... I don't think he's doing any rails, though.
No.
That was more of a 93 Phillies scene. You know?
Yeah. He's more of a champagne guy,
by the way,
probably.
I saw a book come out. I saw a book just came out named Renault. It's called Macho Row. About the 93 Phillies. Interesting.
Hey, was it a true story that Darren Dalton, there was a billboard and his ex-wife was on the billboard and he told them, take this freaking thing down?
Well, I don't know. Maybe, but what was also kind of, like, peculiar or odd was, you know, like, before the game, you always take your pregame, you go to the bathroom. And, you know, they got smut in there at Playboy and Penthouse. And one day I'm in there looking through the Playboy, and I see his wife, he's next to me, like, centerfolds. I'm like, what? Really? But Dalton, Dalton was and is, like, one of the toughest individuals I've ever met. And, you know, my thoughts and prayers are still with him. You know, he has been diagnosed with a brain tumor, you know?
Terrible.
And he's fighting his way. Yeah, he's fighting his way. And it's really weird, man, that Philadelphia, if you know, and like, for all the people who do research, there's been, like, 5 people die from a brain tumor that played in Philadelphia. And, you know, brain tumors are the rarest cancer of all, so...
You know what, Lenny? I don't want to cut you off here, but my ex-girlfriend, someone I love dearly, she died of a brain tumor, a brain cancer, recently. But get this.
Wow.
I subsequently found out that 3 other people died of the same related type of cancers at her workplace. And she worked at an airport... And I don't know if she was exposed to a radiation or what the hell it was, but it's the same thing you just said. For all we know, man, there was something in Veterans Stadium killing everybody, you know?
Well, I mean, Tug McGraw, John Vukovic, you got Dalton. There's more before that. And, I mean, that, you know, that, just like with, sorry to hear about your ex-girlfriend, but the bottom line is there's a rhyme to the reason something's there. And I think they're doing a study right now to find that out in Philadelphia because that's just not, it's almost like statistically impossible.
Yeah, it's like there's a San Diego Charger team that went to the Super Bowl, man. These guys are dropping off like black guys in a horror movie, man, like one after another.
Crazy.
Like,
when the best like linebacker ever like killed himself?
Yeah, Junior Seau, yeah.
Yeah, why? Yeah, why did he ice himself?
Some messed up stuff, man. All right, Lenny, listen,
I've been in the cooler. I went in the cooler. I've been in a cage for 3 years, and I'm not icing myself, man. I'm living the change down the field, bro.
Yeah, well, you know, you're waiting for the next at bat. No. All right, we got to get out of here, Lenny. It's always a pleasure, my man. We'll catch up next week, all right?
Let me know. I'm ready. All right, bye.
Lenny Dykstra with us. Michelle Serpico joins us next. Get Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. I am Gabriel Moretti. The show replays at 5:30 on the television side of things. 5 o'clock on Fantasy Sports Network Radio. We encourage you to subscribe to the Fantasy Sports Network. Only $2.99 a month. Don't be a loser, all right? Subscribe right now. $2.99 a month for all the programs. And we now welcome somebody who joins Game Time Decisions for the first time. You've probably seen her on Cage Fury fighting on the CBS Sports Network, but she's also somebody that you'll be seeing a lot more often and frequently right here on the Fantasy Sports Network, as she will be a panelist on Foul Territory alongside Chris Manzo, premiering April the 13th at 7 o'clock Eastern right here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Michelle Serpico steps up and in. Michelle, welcome to the program. How you doing? I guess I should say not just welcome to the program, but welcome to the Fantasy Sports Network as well.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, you know what? You say that now. You don't know what you're in for.
That's true.
But, you know, I got to tell you, you know, with you, you're already a big star, and with Manzo, you guys give me the highest rated show on the network already.
Like, not more than you.
Yeah, right out of the gate, boom. So yeah, we encourage people to check it out. Foul Territory premiering April 13th. I know I will be, but Michelle covers mixed martial arts, cage side reporter for Cage Fury Championships, based out of New Jersey. Produced a ton of UFC fighters that we all know: the Miller brothers, Jim and Dan Felder, Zach Mikoski, former Bellator champion, Philadelphia kid. So speaking of the East Coast, Michelle, UFC in the Queen City of Buffalo, UFC 210, Rumble Johnson versus Cormier. Pretty sick fight. I'm looking forward to it.
So am I. I'm really looking forward to it.
So Dana White said earlier in the week that Cormier's not a fan favorite. The people don't like him.
He wasn't the first fight either. When they first fought, he wasn't either.
I know. Why do you think that is? You know, because it's funny. I have a theory that he always calls John Jones a phony and stuff, and says, "Oh, you're such a phony. You know, you pretend you're a nice guy in public, but you're really a jerk." And I almost get the feeling that Cormier's the phony one too, that he's actually a jerk as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. But I think I'm going with Johnson too. I think this time around, he's been training with two Olympic caliber wrestlers, which is, you know, where he kind of slacked in the last fight, which is why Cormier took him down. I mean, he hits so hard. That's what he's notorious for, Anthony Johnson. I think this time around, I think Cormier is not going to be able to take him down. I think Johnson's prepared, he's hungry, and he wants revenge for last time.
You know what? I'm going to Rumble Johnson in this fight as well.
Mm-hmm.
No one's getting rich betting against Daniel Cormier, but he's not getting any younger. 38 years old.
Exactly. Age thing, I was going to say, is a factor too.
Yeah, you know, his knees. He's always something with his knees.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on television so much. You know, he does a good job. He's a good analyst, but he's on TV so much. I wonder how much work he's put in, if he thinks about John Jones too much. I'm going to take a chance with the younger man and Rumble Johnson too, the most powerful light heavyweight in the world.
Yeah, and he's coming off an impressive last couple fights. I was at his fight at 202, Anthony Johnson. I was like, wow, this dude hits hard.
The one thing about Johnson, though, and it's the one thing that Cormier does have the advantage, as the fight goes on, I'm not even talking about a cardio standpoint, but just the fact that Rumble Johnson's will has been broken in the past. You know, if he gets into deeper territory, we saw it last time with Cormier, but I'm taking the chance that Rumble can catch him this time. Cormier's not going to be the champ forever. So how about Musasi and Weidman? This is a pretty interesting and evenly matched fight as well. Musasi's a -130 favorite in this fight. What do you make of this one?
Musasi, again, he's coming off, what, 4 straight wins, 3 of them knockouts? I think he's got this one too.
Yeah, you know, Chris Weidman is somebody who, I'm not going to say he got lucky, because the guy's an ultra-talented fighter.
Right.
But Anderson Silva clowned around and got knocked out. Mm-hmm. And then Anderson Silva comes back in the next fight, and he breaks his leg.
Yeah.
And then Chris Weidman thinks he's Rocky Balboa, and that he's the biggest star in the United States of America. And you can tell, you can sort of see, you know, fame got to him a little bit.
Right.
And the trappings of fame. You know, different managers, different camp, you know, moving around and all this type of stuff. I know he's giving a go right now, but I agree. I think Musasi's treading in the right direction right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the bettors agree. It's going up, the number's going up. Okay, Will Brooks and Oliveira. Here's another interesting fight. Will Brooks, former Bellator champion, fighting out life's not all that easy in the UFC. Lost to the Brazilian cowboy Oliveira, but we got Charles Oliveira here. Loser of three of his last four fights. He's going to be a desperate fighter here. This is going to be an entertaining fight as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going with Brooks on this one, though.
Yeah, this one I'm torn. You know, I'm going to take a shot with Oliveira because he's the dog. I like to bet the underdogs.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, I'll take a shot in the plus 200 range. And the big news this morning from UFC Buffalo was Cynthia Calvillo. Now, I told everybody about Cynthia Calvillo, Michelle, a couple of last month when she made her debut in the UFC. Alpha male fighter. They're hyping her up. She's the best female prospect out of the state of California. So Dana has now designated her as, you know, the next thing. Puts her on the main card. But boom, the fight gets scratched this morning because Pearl Gonzalez has breast implants.
Yeah, what is that about? How does that deter her from fighting? What did she just get them? Like,
no, but that, I don't understand this either, Michelle, in the sense that Misha Tate fought in New York.
Yeah.
And, like I said earlier, not to be offensive, but I never touched Misha Tate's breasts before, but I'm assuming they're not real, Michelle.
Right. I feel like there's a couple female fighters that do not have real breasts.
What about Ronda Rousey? Yeah, Ronda got a lot larger, didn't she, suddenly?
Yeah. I don't think hers are fake, but still, like, what? Just because you have boobs, you can't fight? I'm so confused. When I saw that headline today, I was like, how does this deter her from fighting in any way?
I don't know.
She just got surgery, but she can't be dumb enough to get surgery this close to her fight.
That's a good point. If she just got the implants or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, and it's funny, they're saying, no, Misha Tate didn't have. I didn't think we'd be talking about fake breasts on the
it's
show.
It's fine. It's fine.
Hey, it happened. I didn't make it up. It's the story of the day.
Yeah, it is. It's a headline.
It's the story of the day, but word was they're still trying to make the fight happen, actually. So, we'll see what happens there, but.
Yeah.
Michelle, thanks for joining us. We got to get out of here. We encourage people to check out Michelle and Chris Manzo on Foul Territory, April the 13th, 7 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports Network. Thanks for the time, Michelle.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
There's Michelle Serpico with us. All right, we'll take a quick break. When I come back, I do have some UFC 210 picks for you in lieu of a DraftKings lineup of my plays of the day. It feels like an eternity since the UFC has been in an octagon, but the countdown is on. UFC 210 from the Queen City of Buffalo, New York. We've got a light heavyweight championship rematch tilt here. Daniel Cormier, Rumble Johnson. These guys are supposed to have fought in like 16 times, but they're finally going to fight for the second time. And I'm going to take a shot with the challenger here, although the challenger is the favorite. Rumble Johnson is actually a small favorite in this fight. Now, listen, this is far from a lock, man. We've been on a hell of a run so far in 2017 with our UFC picks. I think we're like 31-9 or so. But with that being stated, this is a really cool card to watch. It's a really tricky card to bet. So tread carefully with this one, but I think the championship belt is going to change hands. Give me Anthony Rumble Johnson minus 120. We've got Gegard Mousasi and Chris Weidman, former champion and Chris Weidman, who I think is kind of peaked already. He's a great fighter, and I'm not going to say that he got lucky in beating Anderson Silva. He was the better fighter, but Anderson Silva act like the clown in the new movie It, all right? And he paid the price for it. And then he broke his leg in the next fight. We've seen Weidman lose a couple of fights. I think fame got to Weidman's head a little bit. And I think Mousasi is just the... I think he's trending in the right direction right now. I think at this stage of the career, Mousasi's stock is going up more than Weidman's. Mousasi's got to earn it, man. You got all the potential in the world, dude. You could be a champion, but you got to prove it. I think it starts here. Mousasi gets it done. My boy Patrick Cote, somebody that I've known for a hell of a long time, takes on a guy who's been fighting for a hell of a long time in Thiago Alves. I think this fight goes over the number. I think Cote probably wins the fight, but I like the over better. I don't see either of these guys knocking each other out. They're both freaking tough as hell, man. I think this is a good bet. Over 1.5 rounds, minus 188. We have former Bellator champion Will Brooks taking on Da Bronx, Charles Oliveira. Oliveira's lost three of his last four fights. He's always in there with really elite fighters. you know, Will Brooks is really good, but I don't really understand the number here. And I do think that the discrepancy between Bellator and the UFC is a pretty big one. As we've seen, Will Brooks was the champion in Bellator, but he lost to the cowboy, Alex Oliveira. So I'm going to take a shot here, guys. UFC. I'm going to take a shot with Charles Oliveira and the UFC pedigree in a plus 200 range, although this is coming down a little bit. Miles Jury, our final UFC pick here. Miles Jury takes on Mike De La Torre. Very interesting. They both train in the state of Arizona. One of them at Power MMA, the other one at the lab. So it's a little, you know, showdown, Corral, a standoff here, Arizona style. Miles Jury just had a kid. That helps fighters or hurts fighters sometimes. Miles Jury's going to win this fight, but it's going to go over 1.5 rounds as well. All right, let's get into our plays of the day. We've got to be quick here. The Miami Heat are in a must-win situation. The Raptors want to win this game as well, though. But nevertheless, I think the Heat are a good play as an underdog. I think the game's going to come down to the wire. I think this game goes over the number at 206 with the Pelicans and the Nuggets. The Nuggets knocked the Pelicans out of the playoffs earlier in the week, mathematically eliminated them. I think that payback is here. Give me the Pelicans plus the points. Let's go over the number, over 229.5. Little Major League Baseball, San Francisco Giants get it done in San Diego, minus 110. Texas Rangers got to win a baseball game eventually. I say it happens tonight. Cleveland Indians. I think the Indians are probably going to go on a run and win like 8-9 of their first games of the year. And then closing, Arena Football League is back. Give me Washington to beat Baltimore. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.